Christmas. Don't miss Christmas. And we all have our Christmas traditions, do we not? I was thinking about that today, and I've shared with that, and you'll see on the screen in just a minute some of our traditions and what we do, and the kids know them. And hey, we decorate a certain way. If we're not careful, it'll be the same decorations every year in the same place. Can anybody say amen, right? If it gets out of whack, we kind of get tore up, right? If we're not careful, that's part of our tradition. Certain things that we eat, certain places that we go, certain places that we shop, right? We get the big sales at that certain time. All these things that we do is tradition, and I was thinking about that. If I share with you guys, Chris put that up, the first picture, every year, and you guys heard us talk about this, Dust, I'm sorry to embarrass you there a little bit. Our kids have grown up. We started this when we were little. They were just little bitty kids, and we always go to our bedroom. We get out the scripture, and we read the Christmas story, and we talk about Christ, and then we sing Jesus Happy Birthday before we ever go and open a present. And it's just a way for us. It's a tradition. It's a tradition. That's all it is. But listen, it's one that I want to cultivate. We wanted to cultivate traditions with our kids that reminded them. I couldn't believe as I read the bulletin today, Nancy, the thing that you put in there. God just orchestrates our songs. He does it. Boy, in spite of your preacher, he does that, okay? And I get amazed, and you don't know a lot of times, he's just blown me away at how he puts things together. And you know what? It's all him. And if you look at in your bulletin in the pullout here about and it's talking about we celebrate Advent, we celebrate traditions. On the first, it talks about refocusing on the holiday tradition. We've always loved Christmas traditions, but we realize that we'd be using them to measure the value of Christmas. And that just struck me. Do we use our traditions to measure the value of Christmas? It's so much more than that. And so great reads if you get the time to read that. But we wanted to cultivate and remember why it's so easy, is it not? Especially to teach our kids that Christmas is about what? Getting presents, is it? It's about getting presents and this fun time, and even mom and dad might even be jovial when they're not usually jovial about why is that? We need to teach them the reason that we get the presents. And so I was thinking, is it possible for us to do Christmas on the outside and miss Christmas on the inside? Is that possible? I want us to think about that this morning in our sermon, Don't Miss Christmas. It's in Matthew 2, 1 through 12. We've already been singing about it. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. And let's read that. Let's reverence God's Word by standing and reading God's Word. Matthew 2, and we'll be looking at 1 through 12. You're very familiar. We've already sang songs about it this morning. Listen to what the Word of God says. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring word back to me, so that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a few moments that you'll touch our hearts right where we are on this Christmas Eve 2017. May your word go forth for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. I want us to think about not missing Christmas this morning. Is it possible we have all the beautiful things, all the decorations, all the traditions? Is it possible to have it on the outside and miss it on the inside? I want you to see some people this morning, just a couple people, in this story on not missing Christmas, don't miss Christmas. And the first person is Herod. Look at verses 1 through 3. And what does it say? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. First person I want us to think about is Herod. Known as the Great, Herod the Great, in history. And he's mentioned in the New Testament multiple times. Julius Caesar had appointed his father as governor over the Jew or Judea. And then his son Herod was mayor. He made him mayor over Judah. And so here Herod is coming to this office and place. And he was known for fighting the guerrillas off. In that time there were these Jewish guerrillas. He was known for quelling those guerrillas that was causing all the trouble. And so he was known for that. He was also, Octavian and Anthony declared him, listen to this, it's very important, they declared him king of the Jews. Who? Herod. Keep that in mind. He was born half Jew, half Edomite, so he really had no right to the throne. But he worked hard to secure his position. He fought desperately. In fact, Augustus said this about him in Jewish history. He said it was better to be Herod's pig than his son. That's how he would defend his throne. And we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. He was a clever and capable warrior. He was a builder, an orator, a diplomat. He really secured peace, as we would say, call peace, in Palestine at the time that he was ruler there. And he built the temple, Herod's temple. He's known for that. He was a great architect. He had a concern. He did have concern for the people. The history says that he cut taxes for people. And so you know how people are about cutting taxes, right? Everybody says, hey, praise the Lord. And even at one point, he melted down the gold plates in the palace for the poor when it was a real time of famine, severe famine. So we see some good things about Herod, some good traits about him, but he had a problem. He was jealous. The jealousy, put that definition up there, Chris, of jealous. Feeling or showing envy of someone or their achievements and advantages. Do we have any trouble understanding that? Do we struggle with that? I don't understand what being jealous is. We all do, don't we? We understand what jealousy is. He had a problem, and he had this antagonism that stemmed from this jealousy. He was worried about losing his throne. He was willing to do anything to secure his throne. That's why he said it's better to be his pig than his son. Why? He would murder and kill his sons. Why? Because he was afraid that they would take over the throne. It's amazing what jealousy will do, isn't it? It will cause us, if we're not careful, to miss Christmas. It will cloak itself in many ways. We'll pretend like we're not when we are. But I have noticed one thing about jealousy. See if you agree with me. Chooses sides. You ever seen that? Especially if you're jealous of somebody, you'll get a group together and you'll be jealous and you'll talk about that person and you're acting like you've got this antagonism against them and you'll get a little group to huddle up with you. Ever notice that about jealousy? That's what it does. You know what it does? It splits homes. It splits churches. It'll ruin Christmas. It did for Herod, and we'll see here in just a minute. That green-eyed monster can be aroused in all of us, can't it? Because of his jealousy, he missed Christmas. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why was he troubled? He was frightened somebody would take his throne. When he heard, what did the wise men say? Where is he that's born king of the Jews? Whose title was that? Octavian and Antion are relabeled. Herod was the king of the Jews, so what is this group of these strange guys that show up from the east? And they say, where is he? We've seen his star. Can you imagine the people that were surrounded when they showed up and they thought, oh my goodness, where is he, born king of the Jews? Isn't that jealousy when we see that? Because we're afraid somebody is doing what we're used to doing, or maybe doing a better job. Think about it. Jesus was a baby. How in the world Herod would be gone before he could ever grow up right and to take over the throne? But that shows him how his thinking was wrong. When we're jealous, we don't see straight. We don't see clearly. We cannot worship. All we can see is that we don't like this or that. The jealousy won't let go. That's how Herod was. Oh, you can paint up the outside, but the inside not right. In fact, how do we know that the inside wasn't right? Well, we look over in verse 16, and Herod destroys all the baby boys 2 years and older in Bethlehem. That's how far his jealousy would take him. The wise men obviously had told him when they saw the star appeared, and so in order for him to take care of business, he just killed all the babies. Pray that none of us struggles with that jealousy. We don't want to miss Christmas because of something on the inside, do we? Herod was not the only one, though. I want us to look at the next group, the chief priests and scribes. Now, this is our religious people, okay? This is the people that know the word inside and out. What does it say? And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Micah 5, man, they knew the word. This is the religious people. Let's look at that group for just a moment. Of all the people in the world, they should be the ones that were ready for Jesus to come, should they not? They had waited, 400 years of silence, and this wild man had appeared on the scene wearing camel hair and preaching, repent. John the Baptist had come out, man. So the 400 years of silence was broken, so they had to know something's happening. Something's going on. What is going on? They knew the Word of God even. Because when Herod brought them in and called them in and says, where is he going to be born? What did they say? Didn't hesitate. Went to Micah 5. They knew the Word. They said, Bethlehem of Judea. 5 miles down the road to Messiah lay. And they wouldn't even go to see him 5 miles. Listen, we can walk 5 miles, couldn't we? Even us. I know, I'm pretty fat. I could walk 5 miles to see the Messiah, the one that I've been waiting on for 400 years, the one I'd read, Mom and Daddy talked about, Grandma and Grandpa had talked about, said he's coming, he's coming. Just like the preacher you hear say he's coming every Sunday. We just kind of, what happens? What happens? We just get apathetic. Herod was jealous. They were just apathetic. 5 miles down the road lay the Christ child. They miss Christmas because of their apathy. This could be a greater reason this morning than jealousy. It could be our apathy. You say, what are you talking about? Our traditions, the way we do things, how we're so tied into those things that we, look, is it possible that God himself, Christ, could come in our midst and we wouldn't even know it because we're so used? Like this morning, we're just a little out of whack. Praise God, it needs to get out of whack every now and then. We don't need to be able to look at a piece of paper and follow it time in and time out. Even though we're supposed to be in decency and order, but sometimes we get so tied in that when things get out of whack, we scratch our head. We don't even know what's going on. Apathy always breeds complacency. Complacency will leave us sitting in a pew when we need to be out in the field every time. Do we really know what Christmas is about? Come on. We talk about it. We pray praise God and we thank, but do we really know? Are we so familiar that it's bred complacency in us? Oh, we know all the stuff. We know where to go. We get our trees decorated, and we know where the decorations are. We even put them back in that box and store them in that certain place. So the next year, we can get them out and do it the same. The decorations go here. That goes there. The lights go here. Is it possible that we can get complacent just by doing the same things the same way? I continue. That's what their problem was. Chief priests and scribes. Now, I know they had a crazy man right there, and they're thinking, if I go 5 miles down the road, he might kill me with the rest of them. Is Jesus not worth dying for? I'm just asking this morning. Is he not worth it? He died for us, that we could live for him. Is it not worth putting things on the line every now and then? If the Messiah of the world, the Savior of the world, lay 5 miles down the road, would you go? Something for us to think about, isn't it? The sad part of apathy is we pass it on to our kids. We teach them this is how you celebrate Christmas. Come on. We teach the traditions just like on the bed, those kind of things. We make those things more important than what it is that we're dealing with today, this evening, in the morning, Christ's birth, and what it means to us. And we teach that. We teach the traditions and all those things. But do we ever pass on the real importance of what Christmas is about? Because it was passed on to us that way. Religious group would miss it. Why? Apathy. What are we passing down? I just wonder, just like that in the bulletin today, why we celebrate Advent. It says, I felt like we had just cleared the turkey from Thanksgiving table when our young boys started asking how many presents they'd get for Christmas. My heart sank. Christ was slipping away from being the focus of our Christmas seasons. A few weeks later, the hustle and bustle of the holidays ended just as quickly as it began, leaving behind two exhausted parents and a ton of shredded wrapping paper. Is that what Christmas is to us? That's something to think about, isn't it? I'm telling you what, this nailed me when I thought about my own way and how I celebrate. Mom and Dad, how do we celebrate? What are we passing on? Traditions are all right, but when they make traditions, Christ should be at the center of every tradition. Why? That's what Christmas is about. Sometimes we'll go to greater length of getting on top of the house and sound like somebody walking across and ringing bells, and we will teaching what it's really about. Nothing wrong with having a good time. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with some of these things, but what are we teaching them? What are they going to carry on? What are they going to carry on to their children and then their children if the Lord tarries? We have an influence now, don't we? We see this religious group, these experts in the law. It has to be like an arm's length religion, doesn't it? Because there they are reading the scripture. Herod's saying, man, where's Christ to be born? And they're saying in Bethlehem, 5 miles down the road, but it's not motivating them enough to go and see. It's arm's length religion, isn't it? It's an empty heart. Is it possible? Is it possible for me to know this entire Bible and miss Christmas? They did. It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. It matters that we don't miss it. Herod did, the religious crowd did, but I want us to think about the wise men lastly. Verses 9 through 12. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. You know, there's probably few biblical stories that are known as well as this one. Are they? I know we make it up. We put them at the manger and all those things. We mess it up. We put three because of the gold, the myrrh, and the frankincense, just like we sang about. We say they were three of them because they were three gifts. We really don't know how many there were. Scripture don't tell us. But I'm going to tell you something. We can learn something on how to do Christmas through these guys. You say, what? Well, first of all, they were searchers. Searchers. Look what verses 1 and 2 back up at the top says. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For that we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. What are you talking about, searchers? It cost them something. How long had they set out when they saw the stars? How long had they, when they went out to find the baby Jesus? It cost them something. They set out to find the king and to worship him. Really, this is what Christmas is truly about, is it not? Worshiping the King, no matter how long or difficult the journey. Not wishing it was over. Come on. How many of us said, Lord, I'd just be glad we get back to normal routine. I'm worn out. All the money's gone. Look, is that what Christmas is about? One purpose. What was that? Worship. Searchers. But not only that, but they were finders. Look at verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want you to look at these. They saw, they bowed, they worshipped. They didn't miss it. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus said in these Gospels, he said, if you seek me, what did he say? You'll find me. How many of us are really seeking Jesus? Because he promised, if you seek me, you'll find me. Just like the wise men. You say, you know, sometimes I don't understand this religious stuff. I don't understand this Christian stuff. People that have even proclaimed Christ, they say, there's something different about them. Am I missing something? I don't know about you. I ask these same questions myself. Am I missing? They're cut a little different than I am. What's the deal? When Christ gets a hold of your heart, he changes everything about you. And we try to make him fit in the way that we want him to. He'll never fit that way. He's King. He's Lord. These guys set out with one purpose. That's to worship the King. And you know what? They had to go through some adversity to get there, didn't they? They could have went to Jerusalem and said, well, I guess we missed him. I guess nobody's heard about it. Obviously, the star was blind to them at the time, right? Well, we came a long way, and I guess that we had a good road trip. We'll just go on back east. What did he do when they come outside of Jerusalem talking that crazy Herod? There was a star. And you know what they did? They continued to follow it. Herod, in his position, think about how he could have went and found Jesus. Man, he could have made the greatest look lavish. I mean, he could have put on a show, could he not? And gave a great gift. No, he didn't. Chief priests and the scribes, everything that they had read about and looked forward to and had prayed for lay down the road. Think of what that would have been like to see the fulfillment of your very scriptures. By the way, you will see that one day. You will see the fulfillment of this word on one side or the other. You'll see every tribe, every nation, every tongue like David Platt said. Worshiping, and we'll be in that. We'll be in that great throne around the throne of God. Wandering magi, strange characters, but they found it. They were able to give gifts to the King. Able to give gifts to the King. Are we going to miss it again? Let's just ask. Are we going to miss it again? Are we going to miss out what this moment, what this day, what tomorrow stands for by our traditions? Are we going to truly worship the King? Will apathy, will jealousy keep it from taking place? Will tradition? Nothing should. The routines of our life? Why is it that we love the routines? We're people of creatures of habit, aren't we? We love the rut. Why? You don't have to worry. You just bump against the sides. Keep on going the same old way we went. maybe we can come like the Magi and bow down before the king. Just worship him. Bring him gifts. What does he want? You. You. He wants you. Let me ask you this, those of you. How's life working when he ain't 100%? You ain't giving it 100% to him. How's this old world chewing you up and spitting you out? Because that's what it does. Until, you know what, he'll let you go down those paths. Why do you know? I can say it because I walked them myself. He'll let you get to the end of your rope until you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Until you finally say, I give it. I'm yours. You do with me what you want. Everything I have is yours. You take it. Greatest gift that we could ever give the king this morning is us. Us. Wholly sold out to him. Let's prepare. As we go out these doors today, let's prepare to go and represent the king. Not with just our mouths, not with our traditions, not with our decorations, but with our hearts. Let's represent the king. Applications and we'll be done. Linda, come and get ready to play. Number one, is there anything in your heart this morning that would cause you to miss Christmas? There ain't nothing in your heart worth missing Christmas over. Nothing. Lay it down. Number two, are you doing Christmas the way you always have? You just going through the routines, waiting on it to get over? Number three, what gift are you going to give Jesus? What gift are you going to give him? And you've heard me share this before, when the kids, I love teaching little small kids at church, and I'll never forget the first time that God showed me this, and I was talking about, and I've shared this many times, when I said, man, when you go, all kids love their birthday party, don't they? Love to go, and we've had a mini one over here in the fellowship hall, and whoever it is, and we'll schedule them, and everybody comes, and they're the center, it's their birthday, and it's a great time. And I asked them, I said, who gets the gift? We do, whoever birthday it is. It's my birthday. I said, Christmas time, whose birthday is it? Jesus. Who gets the gifts? Who gets the gifts? We do. Why? He came to give. He's a servant. What are we going to give him this Christmas? What are you going to give him? Is it going to be apathy, just the same old we always give? Or are we going to say, I'm purposing in my heart. I'm purposing. I've done life without him. I've done life. I'm getting tired of this old world the way it is. An old world myself. I'm tired of myself. I want to give Jesus something this Christmas. Well, give him me. Lord, do with me what you ever. Would you, man, think about praying that. But Lord, just do with me what you want. 2018's coming quick. Am I going to do 2018 the same way I did 2017? Is that what God wants? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask you, if you would, let's gather around this altar. What do you think? I know it might be awkward. Let's come on up and let's just pray and give God. Let's pray. Let's go out on Christmas Eve. Worshiping the king. Get down and worship and thank him. Just get down and thank him. Worship. Find you a place. Thank him. Begin by thanking him. And by praising him in your heart. Thank you. we give you thanks and we praise you. We know that this, our very words can't even put into words what we need to say. Thank you. Forgive us. God, I'm reminded of the sinfulness of my own heart. Forgive us for our sinful ways. God, help us to do Christmas in a way that brings you glory, makes much of you. God, teach us not to pass on the same old traditions, the same old, but help us, God, be renewed in our spirit and worship you with our lives. Thank you. Every person that's around this altar, those that couldn't come, Lord, I pray for each person. I pray that this will be a banner year. Maybe it might be somebody bowing right now that's asking you into their heart. What a great thing that would be. Whatever you're doing, you do it to your glory. I thank you for every person that's around this altar. I pray, God. I say, happy birthday, Jesus. Thank you for coming and dying for a sinner like myself. Help me to live for you since you died for me. And I pray, God, that this will be the best Christmas we've ever had, not because of the gift that we've got, but because a Savior has come, is coming again. So I pray you'll be glorified in every life here. Help us to touch our community for the gospel. Fail not to praise you because we ask it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Hug somebody's neck, tell them Merry Christmas on your way out. Yeah, hey, I need to get back here at the back. Me and Sandy's got you a happy. Let me get back here at the back. Don't leave without you happy. I'm so tore up, I forgot.